And exhaust the word of God.
Amen.
And I'm glad that we can't, because that's what we need in our Christian life.
That's right.
So I'm looking at the clock, and I want to do diligence to what we want to talk about tonight. I hope you all remember Sunday morning when we talked about a pure heart, the importance of having a pure heart. You know, and we can be without it, and we're not going to make good decisions when our hearts are not pure. And I want to start out tonight by, in preface, to reminding us of what some things that we talked about, this pure heart and why it is so important. And I find out this week, believe it or not, a preacher, that people today have issues.
Amen.
And they want to know, what is the solution? Can I say this tonight? That it's a heart issue.
That's right,
amen.
It really is. The problems that are in our society, the things that we're facing today, the things that we're going to face tomorrow, the things that we're going to face next year, the things that we're going to face in the future, the answer is with the heart of the people.
Amen.
And I believe God is not mistaken when he tells us, and let's take our Bibles. That's sort of part of the introduction. But let's take a Bible and let's all stand. We're going to take one verse, and I want to share some truths with you from this verse as we talked about it just a little bit on Sunday morning. And we're going to try to pick it up. I'm going to highlight a couple of things that we said or we didn't say to kind of bring us to the point of at least one of the points we want to share tonight. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 23. And the Bible reads, and it says, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." What a tremendous thought when you think about it, because every decision, everything that we do is an issue, and our heart is going to be one of the primary vehicles that's going to help us with facing every decision that we're going to have to make.
Amen.
And I want us to look at that tonight. And Father, we do thank you again for, again, another privilege that we have to be in your house, and again, an opportunity to come out of the cares of this world and to come in your house and to be under the sound of the preaching and teaching of the word of God. I pray that you speak to our hearts tonight in a special way, and again, that we might leave here and say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. On Sunday morning, we looked at one of the areas, and I'm going to give you the definition of what we consider to be the definition of a pure heart. I think we need to understand that again. I'm going to say it this way. Your heart is a tool made by God for a specific purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Your heart is a tool made by God for a specific purpose. And when we think about our heart and what he's talking about that, and we look at our verse and defining what keep means, to guard or to keep a watch over. And I referred to it Sunday morning. It's like when God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, and he was to keep a watch over his family, and he didn't do that. And look what happened. And we're living in a result of it today. Amen. So your heart is a tool made by God for a specific purpose. And not only did we look at those things, I wanted to think about it. Your heart feels life's emotions. So your heart is a filler. Your heart discerns life's desires. Your heart is a warner. Your desires. Your heart decides life's direction. Your heart is a chooser. Your heart includes your intelligence. It is a thinker. Amen. So when we think about it, we talked about this also. We talked about the visibility or the visibleness of the heart. When we think about the visible heart, we got to be concerned not so much of we can't see. You can't see my heart, but who sees my heart?
God.
And we think about it, God sees my heart. So when we looked at 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we looked at 1 Samuel chapter 16, we looked at the visibleness of your heart. Your heart is what God sees and cares about. But he tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the heart, or man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart."
Right.
And we talked about two extremes that we can have when it comes to dealing with our hearts. Our first extreme, that you and I can be so focused on our hearts and reason that within ourselves that our appearance doesn't matter. Because we can be so focused on our heart. But our appearance does matter, because what other people see in our lives as Christians has a very, very dynamic effect on what they see. The other extreme is, and I'm just kind of abbreviating it tonight, the other extreme is that some people focus only on the external appearance and performance as a standard for spiritual growth or a nearness to God. And God says, you honor me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me.
Right.
You can look good on the outside and be just as far from God on the inside. So we see the importance of our heart. And God is concerned about it. And let no one tell you that God doesn't care about it.
Right.
This statement I didn't read Sunday morning, but I want to read it tonight. Don't let anyone tell you that God doesn't care why you do what you do. He certainly does.
Right.
He cares as much about or he cares as much or more about why you do the things as he does than you doing them. Did y'all get that?
Right.
And he certainly does. He knows what you want. He knows what you feel and what you think. And more than anything else, he wants you to have a heart for him.
That's
God's desire. And that's what he's looking at. And so tonight, I want us to not only we saw the fruitfulness and the visibleness of the heart, because that's what God sees. And it ought to be every one of our concern that when God sees our hearts, that they're pure.
Amen.
That they're pure. Tonight, I want us to look at it. I was hoping to look at deceitfulness of the heart, but also the fruitfulness of the heart. Now, when we think about the deceitfulness of the heart, one thing that the heart does that most of us never think about, your heart can guide you away from God's will for your life.
That's right. That's right.
Amen? Because it can. Because if my heart is not right, even when I come in the house of God tonight, if my heart is not right, God's will is that I come and I receive a blessing. Every time the door is open. But if my heart is not right when I come in, I'm not going to get what God wants me to have. Amen?
That's right.
And this week, let me say this, everybody it seemed like that I talked to is having the same issue. I told you all Sunday about this young man that has some choice words for me that I've never had anybody talk to me the way that they did. And make a long story short, I need to ask God to help me to have a pure heart when you look across your desk and every time you see that person looking at you and said what they said, and they never felt like they needed to apologize for it. But you know what? I realized this is still a matter of the heart.
That's right.
So his heart is not right with God. Then I need to make sure that my heart is right with God.
That's right.
Because I got to focus on having a pure heart, because God wants me to have the kind of heart that he can use. If I let harbor bitterness and evil and ill feelings in my heart, I can never be a witness and a testimony for the Lord. And he looks at me and the devil wins. And I don't want the devil to win in my life. I want God to receive the honor, the glory, and the victory in my Christian life. So I want you to think about it. And we won't look at all of them. But there's a couple of areas I want us to think about when you think about. Let's look at Genesis chapter number 5 and verse number 6. I mean, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Notice this. And it says in Genesis 6 and verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man. Saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only what? Evil continually. You know what? It ain't changed.
Amen.
It's still the same way today as it was when we only 5 chapters into the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, and man's heart is wicked, and man's heart is wicked today. And I was sharing with somebody else when we was at the men conference. You know, we say that the world is getting worse and worse. But you know what? It's just as worse today as it was years ago. It's just as worse in a different way to us, because we know what the word of God says. So we know how it began. We know how it's going to end. But it's just as wicked as it was in that day. And I believe God sees the evil that's in the hearts of man. And so we as Christians, we got to be careful that our hearts are not evil. So that's how we can say that that's the deceitfulness. And what we say to ourselves, I'm doing okay when I look at Pastor Dawson.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm doing okay when I look at Brother Joe. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's not what God measures. God measures what's in your heart. Mm-hmm. And that's what he wants. So we see even that is so, that we can have evil in our heart, because evilness is prevalent today. I think about it. The Bible tells us the deceitfulness is in our heart, can be in our heart. Jeremiah 17:9 can tell us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When I think about that verse, it has two words in there that we can think about. He says that the heart is desperately what? Wicked, and who can know it? And he also talks about it being deceitful, because the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. We can deceive ourselves into thinking that we're okay. But when you think and put those two things together, that's the kind of thing that can be deceitful to our hearts, to think that we are okay. And we're not okay if we're harboring those kind of things in our lives. So we can see that there's some sad things about a Christian when we think about the deceitfulness of the heart. We can be proud. Amen. Let's look at Psalms chapter number 101 and verse number 5. I thought about trying to have you all read all of these verses, but it's probably going to take a little while for me to do all of that tonight. But I'm going to just choose a couple of the verses that I wanted us to look at. But I believe Psalms 101 and verse number 4 is a good measuring stick for us when we think about what it says. A forward heart shall depart from me. That tells me right there that God doesn't like a forward heart. Amen. I had the definition of it here. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, I got it here. The definition of forward has the idea to be habitually disposed or disobedience or opposition to someone or to something like a law. So we can be forward in our thinking and disobedient and think that we're okay. But that's not okay with God. So he tells us even that in this verse that we can be that way. And God says, I don't like it. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person that has that kind of heart, because God will not know you the way that he wants to. You can't have the relationship that God wants to have with you if you got a forward heart. And we need to be careful. How about this one? We can be proud in our hearts. Amen. Proud in our hearts. Look at verse number 5. And it says, who privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that have an high look and a what? A proud heart will not I suffer. God doesn't like a proud heart. And I'm afraid a lot of times we as Christians, we can be proud of who we are. And not to say that we shouldn't be proud, but we can be so proud that we look down our nose at other people as Christians and look at people what they don't have, and proud of who we are because of what we don't have. Yeah. But you know what? That's not the message that God wants us to send. That's not the heart that God wants us to have. Right. You can't be sensitive to people's need when you got a proud heart yourself. And we can deceive ourselves in thinking that we're okay if we behave that way. And that's not pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to God at all. Here's another one that I wanted to use, was wrongfully trusted. Look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 26. Verse 28, chapter 28 and verse number 26. Everybody there?
Oh, me.
Okay. Well, anyway, catch up with me. He that, notice what he says, he that trusted in his own heart is a what?
Fool.
And that's nothing good to say anything about a person when you call them a fool. And if God says it, that's pretty bad. And he tells us we ought not trust in our own self, because the Bible already tells us that a man's heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
That's right.
God calls us out. And he says a fool, or in verse number 28, was it 28 or 26? 26, he that trusted in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. God wants us to be wise, but he said wrongfully trusting in his heart, because that may fail you. Amen. So we want to make sure, realize that these things that I'm talking about, when we think about it, I'm going to just read off some. We can be evil in our thinking. We can be discouraging in our thinking. I think I go back to that verse and preach on that again another time, but not tonight. As we was talking about even Friday night, that was one of the messages that the pastor talked about. And I tell you what, that was a revolutionizing verse and passage or preaching that went on that night in my life, how we can discourage other Christians.
Amen.
And God didn't want us to be a stumbling block.
That's right.
And we can be a discourager to other people. So we think about it. How many of y'all, let's see. I want to do something else. I kind of got ahead of myself. All of y'all that are sitting next to somebody, if you don't have glasses on, and you sit next to somebody, I want you to take their glasses off for them. Now, here's how you're going to take, hold on, Pastor, put them back on. I don't want you to take them off like that. I want you to take them off like this. Take them off their face like this, with your hands in the lens. Amen. Not on the frame, in the lens. Take them off in the lens. All right. If you sit next to somebody got glasses on, you guys, y'all, one of y'all take the other one's glasses off. Huh? You don't want fingerprints in your glasses? Okay, I understand that. Okay, here we go. Think about this. Hold up now. Okay, y'all with me? Brother Serge just made a statement. He don't want fingerprints in his glasses.
Amen.
Well, see, you know what? Our hearts is just like the lenses that can be in the glasses. The reason I want you to take them off, because I do want you to have fingerprints in the glasses. Because then you can see when you got something in your heart that's not pleasing to God. That's your view of what you're making your decisions by, because your heart is not pure.
Amen.
That's why it's so important that our hearts be pure, because the pureness of your heart is gonna be the influence on every decision that you make, because it's out of the abundance of the heart that your mouth speaks. The decisions that you make are going to be based on what's in your heart.
That's right.
And it is so amazing to me that a lot of Christians, and one of the ones I'm going to finish it up with, is talking about, I added this one in here, is forgiveness. Forgiveness has it this way: to grant a pardon for remission, or to give up all claims on an account. To grant pardon, to cease to feel resentment against or to for someone. Well, unforgiveness is just the opposite. Because we're not willing to cease our feelings and resentments against somebody. Unforgiving is not giving a pardon to someone when we ought to give it. Unforgiveness is giving up, not giving up our claims on the account of remitting or to indebt somebody with an obligation that they have for us. And that's what I'm afraid a lot of Christians, we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts.
Amen.
And we gotta work on it. Because we can't see the people and the persons the way that God wants us to see life when we got bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts. It's just like having fingerprints or having mud in your glasses if you wear glasses, because you're looking through life through the lens of an unforgiving heart and an unforgiving spirit.
That's right.
And that's why it's so important that we don't have a deceitful heart. And that's the point that we're trying to share tonight, because you know what? I'm telling you. I have to ask God to help me not to let that person get under my skin. And I'm no different than any of you here. Because if you haven't been there, you're going to go there. And if you go there, you need to know how to get not to get there, because it's going to happen, because they're going to get to you. And it's hard. But you know what? By the grace of God, the same grace that I'm trying to live by is the same grace that I need to help me to be able to deal with that.
That's right.
And that's what we need in our society. And I'm going to share it this way. Here it is. And somebody asked me, said, Pastor White, where do you stand on this issue about the flag? Let me tell you something about the flag. I'll stand up for it because I respect it, because I went to the military for what it stands for.
Amen.
We were a Christian nation before most of these people that are born in this world today. And even the little teenagers that decided to follow after probably some adult and not stand up because they were being evilly what? Influenced. Evilly affected. Let me put it this way. You can have people on this side that don't believe that it's okay to do it. And you can have people on this side that want to say, well, you know what, we don't agree with that. And what it has done, the one of the most important things in the history of our nation that ought to bring us together is become a divider. It really has. Because there's people that believe that you can do it. There's people that would burn the flag because they disrespect it. And you got those that are still stand for it. No matter what happens, I'm going to still stand for it. Because I believe that's what our nation was founded on.
Right.
But here's the point that I'm still trying to make to help you to understand tonight, that I need God to help me to understand. the one that will bridge it all together. And no matter which side is right or no matter which side is wrong, the only person that can bridge that gap and bring us back together is the grace of God. And Jesus Christ is the answer. And the world does not want to believe that he's the answer, because he is the only answer. And it's not going to be settled by one party or the other. And I told them at my job, if God doesn't get a hold of the nation's heart, this world and society that we live in, it has no hope.
That's right.
Because you can't leave God out and expect this nation to be a God-fearing nation,
right,
or we to be a God-fearing person, because he is the one that's going to bridge that gap. Because when he went to the cross and died on Calvary, he died for our sin.
Amen.
And our hearts need to be right with God. And we need a pure heart. I need a pure heart. You need a pure heart. And we need to ask God to help us to have that every day. Because every time you are faced with a decision, or every time you are faced with a matter in your life, you're going to go back to that heart that you have and make the decision and answer the fact of how you're going to respond to it.
That's right.
It's going to come from that kind of heart that you have.
That's right.
And that's why it's so important that we don't have a deceitful heart, because he says it in his word that we're gonna respond to it according to what's in our heart. That's why it's so important that we not let this linger in our lives. Think of it this way: your heart, as I said it already, your heart is the lens or the glasses through which you will look and make decisions. If your heart is any of those above things that we just talked about, you are looking through a dirty or tainted lens. And that's what I wanted to use tonight.
Amen.
As the illustration. You know what? The first thing you want to do when you get it all smeared up, what is the first thing you want to do to your glasses? You want to clean them. Well, you ought to want to do the same thing with your heart.
That's right.
Because it's a perfect illustration of what our life is all about. And we can be proud and think that we're doing okay. And if we really be honest with ourselves, we're struggling in our hearts. And if God is going to heal this nation, it's going to be because of God getting a hold of the heart. And I was sharing with them, you know what, that you think about that. You think about that man walking along the seashore and all of these shellfishes or whatever it was that was out there. And he's walking along, and he's picking them up, and he's throwing them back in there. And somebody asked him, so why are you throwing them back in there? You'll never pick up all of those. But you know what? He said, every one that I pick up and throw back in there, they're thankful that I threw it back in there, because they have life. And every one of them that we're willing to be a witness and a testimony to God, because we want to keep our hearts to where God can use us, because God can't use us if our hearts are not right.
That's right.
He can't. And I'm just as guilty. And I have to ask God to help me. So we see the deceitfulness of the heart. But, you know, aren't you glad that there's a fruitfulness to the heart?
Amen.
Because there's some good things that can come out of our heart. And I want to share quickly some things that I believe that can come out of our heart. Because let me say this, and I may not finish all of that. But one of the things that God wants our hearts to be pure is so that we can have a relationship with him that the world never understand. I'm going to read this verse here. And as I thought about it, and we meditate on it, think about it this way. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 says this: blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The fruitfulness of the heart. Your heart can guide you into God's will. And I want you to read it with me. Let's read it slow. Everybody ready? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's do it again. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, most people that read that verse think about it in this way, that it's relating to your salvation. I don't believe that it's relating totally to your salvation. I believe when we think about the fruitfulness of our heart, when our hearts are right with God, we can see God. And we can see him in the matters that we're facing in life. And when we can see God, it helps us to get through what we're going through. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Because that's who you want to see. Because when you can see God, that's what's going to help you. As you head into the adulthood, we talk about this lesson that we used to serve, sharing with our young people. More than anything else, you need to be able to see and discern God at work in your life. You need to be able to recognize his hand, see the thumbprints of God on everything and every decision that you're going to make.
Amen.
And that's the way that you want to see God. And I look at that individual and I realize not only does he have a heart drinking problem, but he has a heart problem. And so were some of us.
Amen.
And we've had some problems in our lives. But when we go through things and we're dealing with the matters of life, we got to be able to see God in all of that. And I realize it's not me that you're disliking. It's the person that you see in me. And I didn't have to say that. I had not a saved person tell me that. It's at my job. She calls me, she don't call me Pastor White. She called me Reverend. Reverend White, you know what the problem is? He wants what you have because he sees your life as a Christian before him. And he realized he's living and have no hope in the direction that he's going. He's going to drink himself to death because that's where he is. And I'm not saying it again, as I said it, son. I'm not bragging on myself, but I praise God that I got a testimony because here I am thinking I need to work on being a Christian at work. But that's the attitude that I ought to have. So when we see God, let's look at some things that I want to share with you. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 30. When I say that, I'm going to back it up using this area right here when I say so that you'll see God. I believe when one of the things y'all heard me say it quite a few times, one of the things that will determine what a person's heart is like is when it comes to money.
Amen.
Amen. You can want to hoard it or you don't have no problem giving it because you need to give God what belongs to him. And a lot of Christians, when they first get saved, they struggle with it. And notice what happens in Exodus chapter number 35. There's three things I want you to see here that happens. First of all, if you're going to be wise, which we ought to be, Exodus chapter 35 and verse 35 says this. I think it's a good thing. Them have he filled with wisdom of heart. Who's doing the filling? God is. God can fill your heart with wisdom. Notice what they had. To work all manners of work of the engravers and the cunning workmen. And in embroiderers in blue and in purple and in scarlet and in fine linen and in the waver even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. He filled them with wisdom of heart to know how to build those things. I don't think they had an architect that had a blueprint and say, this is how you do it. But what I do believe that they had was the wisdom of God. You think about even in this verse of chapter here again. I'm going to get to it. Here's the money part. Look at chapter Exodus 35 and verse 21. Notice what it says. And they came, everyone whose heart did what?
Stirred
him up. And everyone whom his spirit did make what? Willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all service and for the holy garment. So it was, we see a stirring of the heart. And you know what? When you realize what God has done for you, you ought not have no problem with the work of God, giving yourself to the work of God. You ought not have no problem giving yourself to the will of God. You ought not have any problems seeing what God would have you to do when it comes to giving. Look what else happens here. We see the wise heart. He see the stirring of the heart. Look at verse number 5 of the same chapter. And notice what he says. Take you from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a what?
Willing
heart. Let him bring it. An offering of the Lord. Gold and silver and brass. So he says, God doesn't even want your money if you ain't coming to bring in it willingly. Because he don't need it. But God blesses. And I tell you right now, anybody that's been a tither and giving it regularly the way that he ought to, you can see God blessing in your life, and it ain't the money that he brought back in blessings in your life. See, that's how you see God. You don't see God in the material things. You see God in the spiritual things, and the spiritual things that matter. He says, blessed are those, and they shall see God. We shall see God not only in the eternal, but we'll see God in everyday situation, working in our lives. And that's what God wants us to have. So our hearts can be one that move us away from God, but our hearts can guide us into the will of God. Because it is God's will that every one of us handle those affairs in the right way. I'm going to use one more, and it's going to be 1 Samuel chapter number 2. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. And most of us know this story. 1 Samuel chapter number 2 and verse 1. They thought she was drunk, didn't they? And when you see God, this is what I believe happens in a Christian life. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart do what? Rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in what? In thou salvation. Her heart was just running over, thinking about the blessings that she had because God answered her prayer and gave her a son. She was so excited about it that she saw that only that could happen by the grace of God. And he gave him to her. And what did she do with it? She gave him back to God. And when we see God in the decisions and we see God working in our lives, why wouldn't you give yourself to him?
That's right.
I thank God for the salvation that I have. Mm-hmm. And we ought to rejoice in the salvation that we have. And we should rejoice in such a way. It's like preaching when you first got saved. I don't know how many of y'all remember when you first got saved. Were you excited about it? You wanted to tell everybody. You wanted everybody to have what you have. And I think sometimes we as Christians, we lose that joy. And we don't want people to have what we have. And you say, why is that, brother? Why? Because if you did, you tell them about it.
That's right.
We tell them about everything else. Tell them about how good God is. And I'm going to walk in that office tomorrow morning. Morning. Because you know what? It's still a good morning. And this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it.
Right.
I'm going to be who God allows me to be in my work area, because you know what? That's where we're facing it. We're facing the matters in life, and God wants us to have a pure heart. And when we have a pure heart, don't deceive yourself to think that you're all that in a bag of chips, because we're not.
Amen.
We need God working in our lives, and we need to have a pure heart if we're going to be effective soul winners living for the Lord. I'm running through it, but you know what? I tell you, I said it Sunday, I don't think I rest much in the last 2 months. And I thought about this weekend. I thought about today. I thought about tonight. And I'm just so thankful that I have a God that loves me. And he wants my heart to be right so I can have a relationship with him, that he can use me, because God already said he can't use us because he won't have anything to do with sin. And when we harbor ill, bitter feelings, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's deceitfulness, whether it's discouragement, when we harbor those things, we can't walk with God.
That's right. That's
we can't have what God wants us to have. I don't know about you, but I want to have what God wants for me so that I can rejoice like Hannah did when God gave her what she asked for. And I believe Hannah's heart was change. And there's a verse here that says there's a change. And 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 9 talks about how God, when they turned their back and walked the other way, God changed their heart. I'm telling you, God can do it. And we need him to change our heart. But a pure heart is a tool in the hands of God for a specific or special purpose. And that's what we ought to want in our Christian life, because that's what God wants us to have. And he wants to use it for his honor and for his glory. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you so much for your blessings. And Lord, I pray that I did some justice to what you wanted to say tonight. And I pray that you bless our people, speak to our hearts, Lord. Thank you for the blessing of your word and what you showed me this week and throughout the last few weeks of just how important it is that my heart be where it needs to be, because we're going to be faced every day of our lives. And you tell us in your word how we should so much to do it, to if we want your blessings in our lives, that we need to take heed to these things that you're talking about, because it is so important, because it is to keep our hearts with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. And every issue that we face is going to be answered by the heart that we have, whether it be today or whether it be tomorrow, because it's going to affect our lives and the decisions and choices that we make. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.